A truism is a statement that is obvious. It doesn't need to be proved. And one truism is that you protect things that are valuable. We don't have to defend that. It's obvious. You protect things that are valuable. You guard things that matter. You lock your car door if you have to leave something valuable in there while you run into the store. You put passwords on your financial information. It's obvious. You protect things that are valuable. We saw in 1 Timothy chapter 6 a few weeks ago, Paul exhorted Timothy to guard what has been entrusted to your care. That is the gospel message, this precious saving message, this life-transforming, salvation-bringing message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for sinners. It's so precious, you must guard it. Don't let it slip. Don't get distracted. Guard this truth. Unfortunately, sometimes we need to be reminded of the proper value of things. Our value system gets out of order, out of whack. We can even drift into idolatry, valuing created things over the Creator Himself. And the examples here are endless. We value the game on the TV show over Bible study. We value the hobby over sitting down for supper as a family. We value the 4-inch by 2-inch screen over time pursuing our spouse. And so we need to be reminded regularly of what's truly valuable, how valuable it is, and receive exhortation to guard it properly. Psalm 127, verse 3 says that children are a blessing from the Lord. The Bible upholds the high value and dignity of all people. We are made in God's image. Jesus said that you are worth more than many sparrows. Our value is not based on our usefulness to others. It's not if we're clever enough or beautiful enough or influential enough that we can be valuable. Each person, from the oldest to the youngest, from the most able-bodied and sharp-minded to those with the most serious disabilities and deformities, all people are made in God's image and are highly valuable, whether it's recognized or not by the world. Almost everyone, especially in a church like ours, almost everyone knows the right answer on this, especially at a place like Aletheia. Our kids are valuable. We know that. They're precious. They're a gift. They're to be treasured. And so we protect our kids. And so we do. We protect our kids for the most part. We have them put on seat belts and sunscreen, and we don't let them go walking in the south side of Chicago after dark. But I think even as Christians, and even here at Aletheia, we are often negligent in protecting our kids. And particularly this morning, I want to talk about protecting our kids' souls. We don't protect them spiritually like we must. We're generally good, I think, at protecting their bodies. But do we protect their souls? What is a soul? Your soul is you. Your soul is the immaterial part of you. You can't cut open your body and find a soul in there. It's not a physical thing. The soul is the part of you that thinks and feels and remembers and wills, has purpose. It is the part of you that governs your body. When we die, the body goes in the ground, but the soul lives on. It's you. You are a soul. You have a body. The Bible speaks of the high value, the importance of the soul to life. This will come up on the screen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And often this word, the word soul or heart or mind, these are used all to describe that immaterial aspect of yourself. So above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The soul is the wellspring of life. Everything you do, everything you say, everything, all your behavior, it all flows out of that heart. Who you really are flows out into the rest of your life. And so guard your heart. Protect your heart. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We have a culture that's very obsessed with bodies, right? In a lot of ways, and so we were very diligent to look at the body and take care of the body and modify the body to try to make it look just perfect, airbrushed. And Jesus says the soul is so much more important, don't be afraid of he who can kill only the body, but what about he who can destroy both soul and body in hell? Another time Jesus asked this question, Matthew 16:26, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer here is obviously nothing. There's nothing more valuable than your soul, because your soul is you. So even if you have all the world, all the gold, all the treasure, all the possessions, and you lose your soul, you've lost everything, because you've lost yourself. And so again, the world's obsession with outward beauty, the world's obsession with possessions, should really fade away when considering the value of our soul, who we really are, and our relationship with God and all this. The last couple weeks, Sean has taught on worldliness, the dangers of being drawn away from Christ and into worldly rebellion and resistance to God. James 1:27, the warning there, keeping oneself from being polluted by the world. And today I want to exhort us, just to push it another step further, I want to exhort us as parents about protecting our kids' souls. God has given parents this responsibility. It's a privilege and a responsibility of providing for and protecting our kids. And God has given a special direct charge to dads in particular in this regard, to be the watchmen on the walls for our families, to look out at the dangers approaching our homes and families, and to be diligent in defending them from attacks, from the flaming arrows that our kids may not be even aware of and don't have the strength or maturity to defend against. So we must be that. Dads, parents, our defenders, guardians of our families. Proverbs 25:28 warns, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. We must have the self-control to not let things in through broken down walls. This morning I'm going to break the message into two parts. I'm going to send the kids out here in just a moment. We're going to talk about what we need to defend our kids from, what we need to defend against. And then when they come back in, we'll talk about what we need to be doing to help them grow and be able to fight these battles on their own as we unleash them into the world. So at this time, I'm going to have Carolyn and whoever her helpers are, and kids, sixth grade and under, you guys are going to be dismissed out into the lobby. And make sure those doors are closed once you get out there. We're going to watch a short video and then talk about a few things before we let you back in. Make sure you're quiet on the way back in, okay, kids? Your visitor, I'm sorry for the awkwardness, Kendra. Sorry. Okay, it's just about 2 minutes of a video here. They're getting the sound figured out. Just so you know, this is part of it's available on YouTube if you're interested. It's called In His Image. It's a kind of documentary style, about hour and 45 minute video about God's design for sex and gender and that kind of thing. So I can send a link if anybody's interested. If you guys can figure it out, let me know. Let's just hit the lights back on and I'll get right to it. Just give me a wave or something if you figure it out back there. Satan wants to destroy our kids. Seeing these precious little ones walk out here. Satan wants to destroy our kids. He's prowling around like a lion looking for someone to devour. The Bible says that Satan is a thief who has come to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to steal our kids from their parents. He wants to steal people who are made in God's image, made for relationship with Him, made to glorify Him and be with Him forever. He wants to steal them for Himself. He wants to kill. He wants to end life prematurely. Satan wants to send people to hell to keep kids from hearing the saving message of the gospel. He wants to destroy. He wants to destroy our kids' souls. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to ruin your kids' joy. He wants to rob you of unity in their relationships. He wants to rob them of their future. Ephesians 6 that says that we have to be on guard, take up the shield of faith to guard against the flaming arrows of the evil one. Satan is hell-bent on attacking our kids. He wants to kill them through legalized abortion. He wants to ruin their foundation through no-fault divorce. He wants to hijack their minds and their lives by brainwashing them with false worldviews and silly nonsense on streaming services and video games. Satan wants to drag our kids into addiction to screens or games or pornography or alcohol and drugs. He wants to numb their consciences to get them to laugh at evil and shrug off the wisdom and exhortation of godly people. He wants to bully our kids' minds into tolerating sin and then celebrating sin, no matter how twisted or deviant from God's design. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I want to warn about three things we need to be protecting our kids from. They are dangerous ideas, dangerous people, and dangerous habits. Dangerous ideas, dangerous people, and dangerous habits. And there's some overlap here. Satan is a liar. He wants to deceive our kids with false worldviews, with false religions. Jesus says that Satan has been a liar, a deceiver from the beginning. This is his native tongue. So we need to be on guard. And I think of all kinds of dangers, dangerous ideas that are coming against our kids, that we need to be preparing for them. We are the watchmen on the walls, dads in particular. Are we ready? Are your kids ready when they go off to college, when they're confronted with Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses at their door, with Muslims, with New Age folks? Are they prepared to deal with the ideas that are out in the culture about God? False ideas that He's just kind of a good grandfatherly guy. He's cool with whatever. Just be a good kid. God's on your side no matter what. He loves you no matter what. So just, you can be who you are. Can our kids think through and defeat the view of moral relativism that you can determine your own morality? Are they ready to confront the worldview of me-ism, where I'm the center of the universe? The way to find the good life is through pursuing happiness, gaining pleasure and money and comfort. Do you see, parents, do we see the problem with that? Because it's the common view in the world. The way to a good life is to find happiness and pleasure and money and comfort for me. That's what everybody's chasing. But do we even see that that is a deception? That is a satanic lie. If you don't see the problem with that, perhaps Satan has already been coaxing you over to his side, wrapped his tendrils around your brain, and kept you from knowing the truth. Life is not about you. Life is not about our kids and their happiness. It is about God and His glory. The good life is not found through seeking happiness and fulfillment and gaining pleasure for self, but through knowing Christ and laying down our lives for Him. The treasures of the world are pig slop when a feast is offered to us, fool's gold that draws us away from true treasure. Bait used to lure us into Satan's trap. What a lie to think that a high, a momentary high, is better than knowing the living God. A moment of sexual pleasure is better than being filled with the perfect love of God. What a lie to think that money is greater than a life of fellowship with Christ. If we don't protect our kids from these flaming arrows of false teaching, who will? We must be watchmen on the wall for them. Protect them from dangerous ideas and from dangerous people. And here, think of predators. I don't know if your kids are involved in social media. Apparently, there are 60% of 10 and 11-year-olds own a smartphone. I don't know what the average would be here. If you remember the presentation we had a few years ago here at the church building, I think it was a Sunday night. These social media websites and apps, they are dangerous grounds because every sexual predator knows wherever there's kids, that's where I'm going. So if there's a new social media app, we should automatically be cautious, have our guard up, be suspicious. There are people out there. I went to a meeting this past week about human trafficking and sex trafficking in our county. And there was a family there that shared a story, and it was heartbreaking. They have a daughter. They're church-going people, and they are, you know, doing their best to be diligent in protecting their daughter. She had a phone they didn't know about. She got on an app. She was talking with somebody from India. She thought she was talking with somebody from India. They were arranging to pick her up. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But that is the common way, apparently, according to law enforcement in our area. That is the main. It's not people, you know, grabbing kids off the street and throwing them in a van. It's people finding kids online through video games, through social media apps, and luring them, grooming them, preparing them for that kind of relationship. This family was heartbroken. Could have been much worse. Are we on guard? Do you know what apps your kids have? Do you know how they work? Do you know if other people can see where they're at when they're on the app? Not only predators here, but friends. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. Who are your kids spending a lot of time with? Do you know what's on the phones of the kids that are friends with your kids? We've, as a family, been very cautious about who we let our kids spend the night with, even with family members. Because we want to make sure that they have the same value system that we have, that they have the same protections that we would want for our kids. Would you send your kids to a sleepover at a home where there's a closet full of pornography? My guess is not. But do you know what protections are on your kids' friends' phones? This is a game changer in so many ways, in so many good ways. But in so many dangerous ways, if there aren't proper protections, this is instant access to the most vile filth and tons of it. And kids find it. The average age of exposure for pornography is now 11, and it's been going down, younger and younger. The report I read, there's a website called Fight the New Drug, and they're saying that kids as young as 6 and 8 are finding pornography through the phone, through the computer. So where are your kids spending the night? If you think, oh, they'd probably tell me, would they? My kids would probably tell me, would they really? Would you have told your parents? I think kids are starting those kind of conversations. Are our kids known for being forthright about this kind of material, telling the truth? Or for you, is it like me? We've been battling since the day they could talk to try to get them to tell the truth. Them understand that value. Oh, they'll probably handle it well if someone shows it to them. Why would you believe that? You might think I'm being hysterical or overdoing it, and I would say, no, you're being naive. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Do you know? Are you assuming? Oh, my kids are pretty good kids. No. They have wicked hearts, just like you do, just like I do. It is not safe. Satan is looking for someone to devour. He would love for you to think, my kids are good, they're fine. They have nice friends, nice families that they're at their house. A couple hours listening to the pastor each week, that should be good. They're mature, they're all good. And then it's open season for Satan. No watchman on the walls, no guardian, nobody warning their kids about the flaming arrows, no shields up, kids getting picked off left and right. I'll say here in this area too. Are you good? Can we show that? Maybe. Sounds broken. There's a thing down in the corner that you can like switch off to the other sound. You try that? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll send it out. What you would have seen is the whole gamut of you know, drag queen story hour and TikTok videos playing filth for our kids. Do you know what's on their phones? Do you know what apps they use? Do you know who they communicate with? Do you know what games they're playing? Do you know what songs they're listening to? What they're watching on YouTube? Do you let them spend long periods of time in their room alone with their devices? Do you know who they're hanging out with? Who's on their team? Who's in their class? Is it time for a purge? Are there books that you need to get rid of? Movies you need to get rid of? Apps that need to be deleted? Streaming services that need to be canceled? I want to say here regarding people and friends, one of the dangers I've seen over the years in my ministry to teens is the danger of romantic interests, letting the standards slip, not dating somebody who's like-minded regarding faith in Christ, dating somebody who's not committed to Christ, who's following a different Lord and Savior, has a different worldview, different value system, and letting that determine, you know, letting that drag our kids away. I've seen it too many times. It's a real burden for me. Dangerous ideas, dangerous people, and dangerous habits. We've seen here, even in recent weeks, the dangers of social media, Facebook kind of hiding their data, that these social media apps, these things are really, really bad for our kids' minds and relationships. They contribute to depression and isolation, and especially for girls when it comes to self-image and body issues. I really want to encourage you to be watchmen on the wall. I'm not saying these things are all inappropriate, but they need to be guarded. And the kids are coming back in. So I'm pleading with us parents to be vigilant, to be watchmen on the wall, to not be naive, to not assume that our kids are noble and good-hearted, to know the truth biblically about them and their hearts, the longing that they have for sin. And I want to just offer that we want to be a help and a support to you. So if this is an area that you struggle in, that you know you need work on, please come talk to us. We'd be glad to help out in whatever way we can. Okay, in the remaining time, so we've talked about defense and lots more can be said, and I will send that link out, or have Sean send that link out in an email in case you'd like to see that. The whole movie would be worth watching, but just the first 3 minutes would be what I was going to show here. Okay, in the remaining time, I want to talk about offense. And this is, I think, the more enjoyable part. And we're just scratching the surface when I'm sharing these things, and we need to defend against things online and music and song lyrics and all that and friends. That is burdensome to me. That's burdensome. But it's reality, and we have to face up to it. The more enjoyable part is, for me, is being on offense. Because it's not just that we want to protect our kids from dangerous things. We want to give them something that is so good and so rich. We don't want them to settle for the fake treasure, the fool's gold, because there's real treasure to be had. We don't want them to settle for the slop, the pig slop. We want them to have the feast. We want them to know Christ. We want them to know the gospel. And so this is the part where we talk about that. So I want to give you a couple suggestions or encouragements, exhortations about helping our kids in this offensive way, training them, leading them in a way that they'll be able to fight these battles on their own someday. Because eventually we do. We unleash them into the world. They're not going to be under our roofs forever. And so being deliberate even now, even when they're young, to prepare them for that. The first thing I want to encourage us in is to focus on our relationship with our kids. Knowing our kids, letting them know us, spending lots of quality time together. If you've heard what I've said about being defensive and protecting our kids from things online, and you think, oh, we need to make some new rules, that is this much of it. That's an important part. Yes, there are things that maybe you need to delete or cancel or throw out the movie or whatever, but it's not just rules. And I would start with this one, is relationship with your kids. Do you spend time with them? Are you running in so many different directions? Do you have meaningful conversations? This is a quote. Pastor Mike turned me on to this quote a long time ago, and it stuck with me, from Josh McDowell. He says, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. So if you just make rules but don't have a relationship with the kids, they'll be likely to be rebellious. Truth without relationship leads to rejection. And discipline without relationship leads to bitterness, resentment, and anger. Without the context of that loving relationship, rules and discipline will always backfire on us. So what we need here to help our kids to be on defense against the dangers of the world, the contamination of the world, the pollution of the world, is not really a new program, not more activities to distract them, not a mentor. Our kids need a mom and a dad who will step up and spend the long, good, quality time investing in them. Our kids need to know that we love them. We look forward to spending time with them. We need to hang out with them a lot and give them our attention, talking with them, playing with them, laughing with them, having lots of these meaningful conversations. Additionally, we need to guard our kids' minds. If there are dangerous ideas, dangerous images, dangerous movies, we need to guard their minds. We need to keep them from being influenced by bad ideas. We need to teach them. We need to guard their minds from false ideas, from Satan's lies. We need to teach them to pinpoint, to discern. That's false. This is the biblical truth. That doesn't work. That's not true. This is true. This is what God's word says. We need to show the false ideas in the world for how foolish they are, that they're worthy, really, of ridicule and being defeated. We need to teach them discernment to guard against the persuasions of a handsome boy or a pretty girl, or the dangerous but ear-tickling ideas of a college professor or a high school teacher or a social media influencer. Under guarding our kids' minds, we need to talk about education. Education is discipleship. Education is worldview training. Whoever's teaching your kids is training them not only in the content of the class, but they're also training them in a particular worldview. Luke 6:40, Jesus says that a student becomes like his teacher. A student becomes like his teacher. And so every teaching relationship is also a discipleship relationship. Without getting too far down this road, talking about homeschooling and public schooling, there are godly people, godly young men and women who have grown up in this church, who are homeschooled and love Jesus today, and godly men and women who grew up and went to public school and love Jesus today. This decision alone is not, you know, it's not the only important decision. You should know if you send your kids, choose to send your kids to public school, you're going to have to work overtime in order to combat the secular worldview being taught in their school and the other influences that they encounter there. Homeschool families, additionally, will have to work overtime in other ways to make sure that our kids' faith is really mature and deep, not just outward and rule-based, that our kids really can develop the courage to be light in a dark world, willing to stand against the tide, not just being insulated with other Christian homeschool kids. So there's important work to be done for all of us. The main factor is, mom and dad, what are you doing? Are you discipling your kids in the truth? Are we really doing that? Is it going deep? I will say, I think, and we tell this to families that are premarital counseling, I think homeschooling is an option that every Christian parent should consider. I'm not saying it's right for everybody. I'm saying it is something that I think we should at least consider, give careful consideration to. In addition to formal education, of course, there are these conversations at home that need to be had. Ongoing conversations, lots of conversations, meaningful conversations. Find the place to do it. In the car, at the table, sitting on the side of the bed, talking to our kids about friends and about sex and about church life and about values. about what's important. If our kids bristle at the idea of having a relationship with you and sitting down and having a talk, I'm afraid you might have already lost them. If they resent your involvement in their life rather than respecting you and wanting your involvement, there's some serious work that needs to be done to reestablish that relationship where they would respect and want your authority in their life. They shouldn't roll their eyes. Not even teenagers. That's not godly behavior. It needs to be dealt with as such. Regarding studies at home, this is a joy for us as a family. It is a high, lofty thing to do that I wasn't ready for as a dad. I didn't see it done growing up, didn't have it growing up, so I'm learning on the fly. But to give our kids instruction, to teach them the Bible, to pray together, to teach them to pray. When our kids are young, it's often Bible stories and kids' Bibles. And as they get older, it's more theology and learning how to read the Bible on their own, learning how to pray, working on apologetics, how to defend the faith. I want to just flash these up for you on the slides. These are a couple of resources. These first ones are by Marty Machowski. One is for the Old Testament. One is for the New Testament. Again, I can send the links out, but these would be good long-term plans for Bible study with kids. Going through the whole Old Testament or going through the whole New Testament. They're fantastic resources, lots of interactive question kind of things and working systematically through the Bible. And it would last you a couple years. Okay, go ahead to the next one. These are some other books that we've done with our kids. They're more kind of apologetic in nature. There are two different authors here, J. Warner Wallace on the left and then Lee Strobel on the right. You're probably familiar with at least Lee Strobel's name. But both of them have several books designed for kids that are great. It's like plug and play. You don't have to come up with your own curriculum. You just sit down with your kids and say, hey, we're going to read this together and then talk about it. And so these are great resources. And there are three or four from each of those authors. Go ahead to the next one. This is another author I wanted to tell you about. She has several books, Natasha Crane. This one's called Keeping Your Kids on God's Side, 40 Conversations to Help Them Build a Lasting Faith. And so each one is conversations that we want to have with kids about God, about spiritual things, but also about, you know, things going on in the culture. There's one focused specifically on questions kids might have about God, conversations they have about Jesus. But anyway, this is a good author that would be worth looking into. Go ahead to the next one. This is a daily devotional daily devotional book that Carol and I are actually going through this year, and our plan is to take our kids through it next year. But it has a daily reading and then a chapter of scripture to read each day. And it's somewhat systematic, going through kind of what our kids need to know about God and about the Bible and about, lots of different theological topics and really, really good content there. Is that the last one? Okay. Yes, I'd be glad to send some of these out. And there's lots more. When I put together a book list for our teens, there's books on there. Again, it doesn't have to be, you know, fancy here. It's like other people have done the work. Just sit down and read with your kids. And if you say, well, we don't have time for that. We don't have time to sit down and read with our kids. Then you need to cancel something else and make time for this. It's as simple as that. If you're so busy with sports and work and, you know, watching things or whatever, you don't have time to read with your kids, then something needs to change dramatically to make that happen. You make time for what's important to you, and I can't think of anything more important than shaping our kids and protecting their souls, being proactive in this way, really training them and reading good content with them. Okay, just to go quickly through these last couple here, we want to help our kids develop good habits. So one of the ways to protect them from dangerous habits is help them to establish good habits. Kids don't need smartphones when they're 10. They don't need them when they're 6. I think that's becoming more and more standard. They don't need that. They don't need complete access to the internet. We should give our kids curfews. They don't need a phone at night. They don't need a phone at the table. They don't need to have devices that are unlimited access. You need to have something like Covenant Eyes or some filtering software or some monitoring software on every device in your home. And this is not just for kids. This is for us adults, too. We can get into all kinds of trouble, too, right? YouTube is not safe for our kids. They should not have unfiltered access to YouTube. I'm sure some people out in the world in our community would say, oh, that's so extreme. YouTube, you know. You know what's on there. You know the things that come up. You're not even looking for it. And YouTube's recommending just absolute trash to us. And they'll do it to our kids as well. So we need to be proactive. Help them to develop good habits. Help them find good things to listen to. Good music to listen to. Good movies to watch. Not letting them figure it out on their own. Another one here, helping our kids develop other quality relationships. So if we need to protect them from dangerous people, we want to help them make good friends. Help them pick good friends. This is our job as parents. We don't just like, oh, hope they make good friends. Good luck, kids. We help them make good friends. We help them know what kind of friends to look for and help them arrange those, especially when they're young. I realize that's trickier for teenagers, but we still need to have that influence. We need to help our kids choose good heroes. Don't let them choose their own heroes. Talk to them about what are some godly men and some godly women who have really made an impact. We don't really want our kids following after any sports celebrities or social media influencers and that kind of thing. There's just not really a lot there. Maybe some athletes who would be okay heroes. But there are such godly heroes we can pick for our kids and help them to want to follow their example. Okay, and the last one here is church involvement. Church involvement. Another way of being on offense. Helping be, again, proactive, deliberately training our kids so that they can defend themselves. Our kids need to be plugged into a good church family with good teaching, with good community, with other godly examples. They need to be involved in a life group. They need to see other couples building their lives on the foundation of God's word. Our teens should be in youth group. They should be getting that training. Our little guys, little girls should be involved in Young Bucks and Fair Maidens. I came across, this is another article, and I can share the link if you're interested. There's a study, these studies come out from time to time about the number of kids who grow up in the church and then walk away from the faith. And this is based on the study that they did. Again, similar results. It's huge, huge percentage of kids that grow up in the church leave. And he said, this is the title is somewhat provocative. He said, how to disciple your kids into dropout status. So if you want your kids to grow up in the church but not keep the faith when they get older, here's what you should do. Attend church sporadically. Just go every once in a while. Let it be like once a month kind of thing or just every once in a while. So they see it as just kind of like this sprinkled on thing. Like you can have it if you want it. Not really essential. Complain about your church. Don't teach them to be mature and godly and loving others no matter what the cost. And, let them see that church is an inconvenience and people are weird at church and there's problems and there's always something to complain about instead of room for us to grow. Insulate them from the rest of the body. So keep them in some children's ministry or youth ministry where they're not with other adults learning to have those other kinds of relationships. But just keep them, make it all about them. Entertainment. It's all about me. Ignore their crucial questions. We have a big emphasis here on apologetics. You should be able to, any question you have. If Christianity is true, we should be able to withstand any attack, question, objection, right? So don't ignore their crucial questions. Don't say, oh, I just need to have faith. Or, how dare you doubt? No. Welcome the questions. Deal with it. Church hop, bouncing around. Again, keeping from being plugged in. And then the last one, they're marginalizing or muzzling the gospel. Making it all about rules instead of about grace. Our kids need to be plugged in. We adults need, but how much more our kids, they need to be plugged into a great church family where they're growing. I won't read through all of these now, but I have a list of questions. Just I encourage you, I'll have Sean send these out for you to look at with your spouse regarding protection for our kids. Are we doing our job? Are we doing our job in protecting our kids' souls? What specific steps are we taking to protect them from false ideas and worldviews, from predators and friends who aren't really friends, and in their romantic lives? Are we aware of their online behaviors, helping them live faithfully? I've got more there, and I'll send those out to you. I encourage you to do that. Make time for that. Set aside an hour with your spouse to talk through maybe there's some things that need to change. What's more important than your kids' souls? They're forever. Guys, it's forever. I mean, we're playing for keeps here. It is forever. Can you imagine them being lost forever? Apart from God. Apart from all His good gifts. Can you imagine them being separated, the loneliness and the darkness of hell? We don't just want them to be good. We do want them to be good. We want them to love Jesus, to trust Jesus, to follow Jesus. In some ways, getting them to obey the rules, especially when they're young, is easier. We want them to love Jesus. And part of that means we as parents need to be their fierce protectors. We need to be vigilant. We need to have a plan and take no days off. Kids, just a minute here. I want your attention, and this is for teens also. Your mom and dad's job is to protect you. It's our job to protect you. And it's a hard job. We don't always know the best way to do it. Sometimes your parents might make rules that you don't like. You don't think they're fair. They might tell you you can't watch a show or you can't have a phone when your friends have a phone. You might think they're being too strict, but this is their responsibility. This is our responsibility, guys, before God. We are called to protect you. We're called to protect your bodies and we're called to protect your minds and hearts. And I want you kids to trust that God has put mom and dad in charge and that they're trying to do their best. They're doing their best before the Lord to make these decisions, and they're trying to protect you. We're trying to protect you from dangerous ideas and dangerous people out there. And you might not like our rules all the time, but I want you to recognize what a gift that is to have moms and dads that want to protect you and guard you. I'm going to close with, have the music team come up here. You guys can come up. I'll just close with a couple passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul says about the Corinthian church, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." We don't want our kids to be led away from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Don't let them be steered away by TikTok or Netflix or whatever. And then Ephesians 6:1-4. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord."